able to withstand those pressures, you come to places like this. Remember I said something, I think it was last week or the week before, that God will give you the power to do something and still reward you for doing it. In the same manner, the devil will push you, Satan will push you to do what is wrong, and you'll be the one judged for doing wrong. They won't say it's because of Satan. That is, whether it is God or Satan, they empower you to do what you really want to do. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, to use just weight. Listen, it can be tough. It can be tough. You go to market. Maybe everybody, you are selling rice. Your own rice is supposed to be, you are doing rice per kilogram. And they say rice is, how to say it correctly. Okay, let's assume 50 naira per kg. That may not be a correct price. Okay, let's say 100 naira per kg, all right? 100 naira per kg, all right? Now, when you weigh a proper 1 kg, you have to sell 100 naira to make money. Your neighbor sells at 85 naira, except that his own kg is actually 0.7 kg. He has twisted his weight. To stand for righteousness means that the one you won't sell. Because people will come to your shop and say, how much is rice? Say 100 naira a kg. Say, but they sell 85 down the road. They say, well, I don't know how they are managing. We'll buy our stuff from the same place. Okay, your things are too costly. And you wait. No, your things are not so costly. The one you will not sell. Listen to me. The two you won't sell. And if you want to lose out entirely, go around and say, this man is a fraudster. It is not your job. You understand my point? It's not your responsibility. You just cause fight in the market for nothing. Whatever it will take, let me tell you, this is a power of the Spirit. We're going to come down to that. This is a power of the Spirit that you will continue to sell at 100 naira a kg without changing your weight. Do you get my point? Without selling 750 grams for 1 kg, you are doing the will of God. Then after God has seen you resisting sin almost to the point of the death of the business, then he steps in. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, he will watch you resist sin almost to the shedding of blood, that is the death of the business. But say, no, whatever it takes, I will not lie and sell 750 grams for 1 kg. I can't do that. Then one day God will appoint another Dora Kunyili somewhere who will say, now we are going to be inspecting the proper weight in the market. And this is the way devil is. There's what they call Agbano in Yoruba land. Hey, Mike, you know what I'm talking about? It's a spirit of waste that enters a man's life. God first sends spirit of waste to all your neighbors who have been doing wickedly, and it is just they open the door to that spirit. And they cannot recover and do right. Because the man is used to making a wide profit for nothing. So he has bought a car that's bigger than him and is paying instrumentally. That's the way it goes. Then the decree comes out, he has paid 80% of the price of the car. So he's forced to return his weight to the proper place. No, they first catch about 3 people and make them examples. Those ones go to jail. The other competitors have expended, they have stretched their lifestyle to eating more than they have. So one day, they put up their shop for sale. And God gives you money to buy it at a quarter of the correct worth. That is, you wake up one day, 5 years down the line, there were 50 of you doing that business in that area. Now you own 48 of the shops. Do you get my point? That is, the kingdom of God has come upon that market. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, the work of the kingdom there is not to abandon the market and say, do I... You know, I was in the church I told you I went to preach the other day. There was a question they were asking. There was an interactive section before I came. And one of the questions, where the women would complain and the men would respond, and the men would complain and the women would respond, you know, marital issues and all that. And there was a question that was raised. And I wanted to put my mouth when I started preaching, but I said, no, let me leave the matter. He said that the brothers have this complaint against sisters, that they against their wives. Now, why is it that they will go out to places and come back home late and it is not church? That they are unhappy when their wives come back home late and they are not coming back from church. I wanted to say, does it make any difference whether it's church or not? If they come back home, whether it's from church, it's bad. That's what I was going to open my mouth to say, but I decided to keep quiet lest I give anybody offense. I noticed how we calculatedly excused staying late in church. And because... for the man to be complaining, he's not there. And he's in church complaining, he's a brother too. You understand my point? It's not as if it's an unbelieving husband and has a believing wife. Both of them are believers. That is, you feel it is righteous when you occupy the women in church. The man can't complain. But any other thing she does and she stays late, it is not right. I just shot my mother. I don't want to give anybody offense. But what I'm trying to say here is this. Don't let's fool ourselves. That doesn't give you the validity of the work of God, because it is inside the building that we call church. Do you understand the point I'm making? Now, what I'm trying to preach to us today is simple. That the Bible says there will be an increase of his kingdom or of his government and of peace that always follows it. You understand my point? But that increase is not going to be that Jesus will grow larger in person, but that the people who his spirit dwells in will begin to take over more kingdoms. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is the increase of his kingdom and of peace. Now listen, let's take Nigeria for example. Nigeria is a beautiful, in fact, I don't believe there is a country on the earth today that can outline the principles of the kingdom for you more than this country. You have seen the wicked flourish for a while, and you've seen judgment come upon them. I mean, I remember the days that drug barons and fraudsters were ruling over Lagos. Are you getting me? I mean, some of them move in entourage. The man is a crook. We know he's a crook. He knows he's a crook. The people in his entourage, they know he's a crook. Policemen know. Everybody knows this guy is a fraudster. But since they have stolen billions of naira, he patrols the streets in the latest cars and marries the finest women because he has the money. And of course, there were shops that opened. I don't want to mention them to service them. That is normal shirts that human beings will buy for 200 naira. They will sell it there for 3,000 naira. And since normal people couldn't afford the 200 naira, you can imagine that guys who are paid. So the guys who own that shop, of course, it's free money, stolen money, drug money. And then one day, God appointed a madman, in quotes, as the head of National Drug Law Enforcement Agency. The man did not respect the king or respect God. He just said, the church should enforce drug law. No problem. And that ended the reign of drug lords in Lagos. I mean, we watched it happen all the time. There was a time armed robbers were in there. God appointed MB Marwa as military administrator. And the thing ended like this. That is, in Nigeria, we have seen things happen. But that's not the main example I even want to use. Remember the example I was giving you the other time? That they say, those days, 90% of judges in Nigeria were in the Ogboni. I said, that was those days. But the increase of his government and of peace has ensured that the number keeps on dwindling. And listen to me, it's a prophetic word based upon the scriptures. There shall be no end. There shall be no end. I mean, lecturer in University of Nigeria, Enugu campus. I mean, the increase of his government has reached our university, because the vice chancellor, I always call him an archbishop, I don't know why. He's very but I call him archbishop. I mean, it's showing, I head the department, I know what I'm saying. I mean, the increase of his kingdom has obviously reached University of Nigeria. It has. He sent a secular out once. That if he hears any allegation of sexual harassment, be informed that he will investigate it. Now, that alone will scare every man to put his trouser in order. No, it was a secular to everybody on campus that if he hears any case of sexual harassment of lecturer versus student, he said, be sure it will be investigated. Not the one that one of my friends said they was telling me those days, University of Benin, that they went to report to the dean. The dean said, I beg, go and meet the manager. What will it cost you? No, that was the reign of Satan. Let me see the man who is cursed from his hometown to come and do it in University of Nigeria now. And the vice chancellor hears. Listen to me. There shall be more vice chancellors like that appointed in this country. That is what is called the increase of his kingdom and of peace. As peace has entered the university. You know, people, those that tell that cultism cannot be handled. I say, I don't believe it. You don't want to handle it. The year after I left University of Benin, the then vice chancellor, that was her last year, Professor Grizzly Williams, faced courts, and the thing vanished. It was after she left, she came back. No, the woman just faced the courts. Okay, all right, I heard there's courtism on campus, it's getting too much, I don't like it anymore. Bam, it's ending. It's when I was in final year. When the earth heard the judgments of God, the inhabitants learned righteousness rapidly. The woman would take a boy about to finish his final year, a week to graduation from school as a medical student. Next week, he will become a house officer. He will give him rustication letter for 7 years. They ran to court. The boys were peeing in their trousers. But listen to me, he stood. They served 5 years each before the next VC pardoned them. They were my seniors. I was a senior registrar when some of them were doing house job. There was a young boy I know. I knew his girlfriend. Who finished from computer science with a second class upper. Instead of collecting call up letter from NYC, he got a dismissal letter bagged by a year. Courtesy, Professor Grace Allee Williams. For what? Cult activities. The next year, people were afraid to sneeze loud. And if you want to sneeze, you cover your head. Lest they think it is a gunshot. When thy judgments are on the earth, O God, the inhabitants of this world, they learn righteousness. Forget all this. It's because the hands of the VCs were not clean. Of the increase of his kingdom, or his government and of peace, there shall be no end. What I'm trying to say here is this. The increase of his kingdom is not God will be sending waves from the heavens. God will say, I will call a man of my purpose, the called, the chosen, and the faithful, and make him a vice chancellor. If they will not hear, I will make him minister of education. Then he will give a marching order to all the VCs. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Listen, God has not done some of these things because he has not found anybody. Destined to rule, that's what we are talking about. That if the world will experience the goodness of God, the first thing God finds is a man who has experienced his goodness and his severity, who has vowed that I will stand with God till I die. Then God says, fine, now I'll make you the next IG of police. Let me see the next policeman who will collect bribe on the road. We all complained. Finally, when Ogatafa was removed with 12 billion naira in his pocket, we found out why he couldn't stop his boys. Because his commissioners were donating 1 million naira a month to his pocket. And he did not ask them where they get it from. He knew. You know what 20 naira on the road means? Thousands of buses every day. Do you understand what I mean by the increase of his kingdom and of peace, that there will be no end? That is, when God finds the proper man, he makes him the IG of police. One of the problems we have is that we keep on saying the police is bad, so a Christian cannot join. We quoted last time, he said, the sons of Ephraim, though they were armed, yet they turned back in the day of battle and therefore broke my covenant. We did a series we call God's Champion. That is, God told Jeremiah, see, I have strengthened you. I have made your forehead hard before them. However, if you turn back because of the fear of them, I will disgrace you publicly. The commandment is, listen, you are small, they are big. You appear weak, they appear strong. But I have strengthened you, I have made you strong. Go in this strength I have given you. If at any time you turn back, then I will have to dismay you personally. I feel sorry for people telling me that I can't do full-time ministry because of hunger. That is why everything you do will not prosper. God said, I will feed you, take it from me. I will. If you say, God, I'm not sure. God said, all right, just watch it. Go and try. I give you stud everywhere. You know what they call stud? When we were young, we used to call it study. He gave the boy a study. You know, if you were from my part of the world, you understand what I'm saying. That is, when you want to move, like, the God will stretch his leg. You fall. Say, I rebuke you, Satan. I say, look, it is me. It's not Satan. It's me. It's me. Can you rebuke me? Say, I'm sorry, sir. Yeah, go back to where I sent you. That is the power of fear. People run away from what God has called them to do. It's not just fear of they will kill me. No, sometimes it is fear of what shall I eat? What shall I drink? Wherewithal shall I be clothed? What will my children eat? God said, take no thought for your life. That is my responsibility. Your responsibility is to go to battle and fight for me. I will take care of the other one. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, God has given birth to every child of his and given him a particular throne to rule over. And until he manifests, everybody who that authority falls over will be suffering. Every man that God called to, you know, if you look at the earth, you know the problem with Christians? We have thought that ministry is a shababalabaya, come out! You go around catching people one after the other. No, you think that is all that is ministry. That all cases of polio must be healed by laying of hands. No, God says, go and make polio vaccine. Do you get the point I am making? God said, look, you cannot get everybody to come and take collect laying of hands and anointing oil to cure hepatitis. Therefore, I shall send some of you to the laboratories. You will cook up for me hepatitis vaccine. Listen, God is merciful. He's not trying to swell the walls of a church. You know, that's what we think. The anointed one is the one that God does everybody. And when he comes, his robe, he will fill the temple. You know what I'm trying to say? No, that's not what he's trying to do. That, you know, every time, there are prayers I pray every day. Believe me. You know, hey, Mike, you know the way they pray in Yoruba? I say that, Akioba or Nicole, let's say, you know, that. That let me just say like this. Some of them say, may you not see the wrath of the Lord, that is, you know, stuff like that. Once in a while, they show Nigerian prisons, and you see maybe half of the people in there are awaiting trial. How long have you been awaiting trial? 5 years. What is the maximum sentence for which you are awaiting trial? 3 years. Then once in a while, one chief judge that has just been appointed will magnanimously order the release of all those who have served, who have waited for longer than the sentences of the crime. And we feel the man is magnanimous. It's a kind man. Yes, he is kind that he even remembered. Because the one before him did not even remember. You know, every time I see it, I'm not joking about this. Before I was like, this is wicked. No. I just say, Father God, deliver me from trouble. Let me not find myself there. Because it's not funny. After that, I said, God, please give us a system by which this will not happen. I'm not saying you shouldn't punish the man who is guilty. But for goodness sake, I have seen people detained by policemen just because his neighbor does not like him. And he wants to go to court, no trouble. That is, even lawyers find it quicker to tell you, bring me 5,000. Let me give this man. This guy will come out. No, Americans have their problem, but in that justice area, at least they try. Once you arrest the man, one lawyer will stroll in with his hand in his pocket. He'll ask you, how long has he been here? 1 hour. Okay, I think he can go home. Now, you're not finished questioning. He won't ask your permission. You just drag the man by the hand. Have you charged him for nothing? No, you haven't. Just drag the guy by the hand. And the policeman can't do anything. I love watching Law and Order. That TV program. I love it. Some of the times when I just see the district attorney and the defense attorney, you know, arguing. The guy just looks at, I'm going to judge. This guy said, for what? He said, I found this. He said, that's one. You found the way on the street. Anybody could have done that. You know, as he's saying it, he's dragging the man by the hand. The boy, get up, let's go home. The man is fooling himself. And I say, oh, Nigeria, we heard. You know, that old song. Now, that's just, it didn't just come to my heart. Their own was not made by God. Listen to me. It was made by a man inside whom the spirit of the gods, there's a reason why I use that expression, the spirit of God dwelt. Because we'll read about Joseph, we'll read about Daniel. That, listen, there are people that God has appointed that as long as you live and for generations after you, no man will be in detention beyond 24 hours except he is charged. And you see one bloody constable come and arrest a big man like me and lock him up. What has he done? Your neighbor reported that you are threatening his life. No, my neighbor said, okay, I didn't threaten his life. He said, no, you come and explain at the station. My neighbor said, The other day I was at an autopsy. A young girl died. And they accused the boyfriend of having poisoned her. So the family of the boy wanted me to stand for them at the autopsy. I wasn't the one in the autopsy. I just went there. So I was questioning the IPO, the investigating police officer. I said, so what's going to happen? I told the boy, man, food poisoning. He didn't understand that food poisoning is a medical terminology. It doesn't mean they put poison in the food. He was blabbing rubbish. No, I explained, officer, wait. What I am saying is that the food could have been contaminated by a natural poison that nobody put in. That's why it's called food poisoning. I don't mean that somebody poisoned the food and that is food poisoning. Okay, doc. I looked at the man. He said, no, that they were arrested, but that they will arrest the person who went to buy the food. They will arrest the person who sold the food. You know, at least, why don't you even ask yourself motive? In a public book, what will be the motive for somebody to sell poison food to another single person, being the only one who died amongst the many that ate the food? No, the man said, yes, they will find out, but they will first arrest everybody. I said, ay-ya. We have been praying, but listen to me. God always asks one question. Who shall I send? Who will go for me? Sorry, let me just say this. Some of the people that he wants to send are in one Christian camp somewhere. Feeling they are doing the work of God by following the man of God about. God will look, oh foolish Galatians, will you go and take a job as a magistrate so I can promote you rapidly? Are you mad? One of the things you must never do again, let me ban you from today, is to open your mouth and say that sector is bad, I can't go there. Jesus said, the one that is well does not need a physician. Is that not it? That if a sector is bad, then maybe I should go there. But what we like the sector that is good. So that you can say, so rest. You have a good job late for a long time. Rest, enjoy yourself. God is an idiot. This very night, he shall sack you from this job. So you can start praying like Anna again. Do you get the point I'm making? I said, destined to what? To rule. That is, the way Adam would have filled the earth with the influence of God was simply by multiplying and not to avoid any sector of the earth. Do you get my point? Every area he avoids, that area, the sector will be dominated by the devil. Remember we read last time that God said, I will not drive them out from before you one single year. Because if I do, the land will become overrun by wild beasts. So as you increase, I will drive them out. That is, if I don't like all the Supreme Court justices in Nigeria, there is nothing, I can't leave the place vacant. I can't. God says, I can't, you don't understand, I cannot leave the seat vacant. I will put a satanist on seat number one, a guru maharaj on seat number two, a fatwa man on seat number three, a babalawo on number four, a boni man on number five. But look, why? Because there's nobody to put. That is, bad justice is better than none at all. That is, there's a system for him to be a bad one over. So he will preserve the system until somebody or people that are good enough will be ready to be used to replace them. And I will not take them out from final year law and make them. It doesn't work like that. There are proper orders that are followed. God might hasten them up, but he will follow that order. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, there is no area, no matter how bad, that God has not appointed a righteous man to rule. But you know, the major problem is, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? Secondary school teachers are poorly paid. Let me tell you what you need to know. If God appointed you to be in that place, no matter how hard you run, your children will go to a bad secondary school for that purpose, for that reason. God will say, how can I give your children a good school when I appointed you to create a good school or good schools and you have refused to do it? Many men who don't prosper, this is why they don't prosper. Because they are running after prosperity. And God said, no, you don't get the point. If I gave it to you, you will neglect your purpose. So I have to penina your life. You understand what I'm saying? Remember that Anna principle. I have to leave poverty as a penina to harass you into prayer. So every morning, instead of running out to go and fight your business, God said, wait. Kneel down there and pray, say, God, please. And then I will be able to whisper and say, wait. Since your business is not working now, I have created opening in a Ebonyi State Secondary School Management Board. Is that what they call them? Anyway, you know what I'm saying? I say, God, me that have opened this and this before. I opened one restaurant. I have already opened one supermarket. Hey, but God, but it has collapsed now. At least that one you will get a regular salary. Now you will call your wife one day, say, okay, I think we are moving the back leg. See, if God spoke to me this morning, that behold, my son, I have appointed a job waiting for you there. Then as soon as you arrive, the man will just say, please, what course did you study? He said, I studied psychology in university. He said, we have been looking for a guidance counselor for the whole state. Look, you shall be the one. So you will settle down and say, well, at least. Then you start giving testimony. Brethren, as soon as I got there. That's the beginning of testimony. As soon as I got there, the doors were open. And then, after you have become content, then only they will come and test you with one business just of me in Enugu. You see, I'm not doing. God says, he has learned. Okay. Next time, promotion comes. Bam. That's when you start doing maybe correspondent course, MSc. Then one day from there, you will be doing one PhD just 200 kilometers away. Before you know what's happening, you've collected a PhD. You are, look, while you are running around, before you know what's going on, your influence is felt in every secondary school in Ebonyi State. Because they're good. For this thing you have done, let me just dash you a quarter of NBL. Do you mind? He said, just a quarter of NBL. Lord, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. A quarter is back. Make it 1/8. I'm all right. Then one day you buy, look, he says, God has nothing against giving you fanciful and beautiful things. Then one day you buy a very big, fine Mercedes-Benz, like the type I intend to buy one day. Then people will start probing you to check whether you chopped money from secondary school purses. And then like Daniel, they will find that in all the affairs of the king, there was no negligence or evidence of corruption. Then you will tell them like our president, they should have come to ask me instead of doing all this problem. I've told them that is how God did it. And you know the interesting thing? You'll become another success story. When things are bad in a big city, move to a smaller one. It's a lie. You understand what I'm saying? It is a big lie. It's a lie. They start telling stories. Now, the principle of increase is to go down first. You understand? This man moved from Enugu to Abakaliki, and then he was an entrepreneur. Then he became a civil servant. Just. I've always said it. What God rewards openly is always done where? In secret. What God rewards openly is always done in secret. If you observe the life of a man from a distance, meaning you cannot see the secret things of his life, you can never understand the principle behind his success. You can't. What God will reward openly will always be done secretly. Do you get the point? But then, when you have done that, God will be rewarding you for establishing his kingdom in that place. But most men, you know what they run after? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? So they depart away from the reason God will have used to give them what they shall eat, what they shall drink, and wherewithal with what they will have been clothed, they will have clothed themselves. They depart away running after the food, the drink, and the clothes. Do you understand my point? That God said, I give it to the birds, they don't pray about it. I give it to the flowers of the field. They don't hold night vigil. You know, I have warned you again and again. Night vigil for food is madness. You understand what I'm saying? Prayer meeting over cloth is. What word can I use? Let me just leave it there. You understand what I'm saying? I will not say beyond that. That your prayer should be, one example I like about prayer was Kenneth Hagin. He will tell you that those days, every day, twice a week, he will be praying God, what am I supposed to do next? You understand my point? That it appears like something is not exactly together. So he's praying every day. What will I do? What will I do? You know, I was saying the other day that some of the people who practice faith, they want to practice like Kenneth Hagin. They want to claim anything they want. Why? Because Kenneth Hagin said that one day, Jesus spoke to him that just calculate what you need for the week and claim it and you will get it. And he always claimed it and he always got it, which is not a lie. The man was given a valid testimony. I said, but they forgot one thing. The man never claimed $1,000, not once. He always used to claim $200, $250. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he had a bad car and bad tires and bad things. He was not claiming money for a new car. He was living in a small house. He did not claim money to buy maybe the former house of J.P. Getty. He didn't even claim money to buy a big house. What am I saying? You will notice that before God gave him that word, he had observed him. He had proved him. He had tested him. He had called him. He had chosen him and had proved that the man was faithful. So he gave him a word. So it never entered his heart to be claiming things that are lofty. But boys who have not been faithful to God in anything, they say, wow, we are children of the same Father. Hallelujah. Amen. I told you before that before you enter into certain positions of authority, God walks you through certain places. He said, can you pass through what I'm about to pass through? Can you drink this cup I'm about to drink? There are things you must drink. There are places you must walk on before God gives you any degree of authority. Stop just claiming what somebody has claimed he did. So the little boy is come to claim the same thing. Then they start their own. See that S-class that the governor dressed beyond here, anytime he's passing here, I claim it next year. And they go around giving testimony. I now have an S-class Mercedes Benz. He said, where is it? He said, ah, Young Icho said, I'm pregnant with it. That is what a man should pray about and be claiming. Is God, where am I supposed to rule over? Where is my position of authority? The film industry we're talking about. Give us an example. That God will not, no matter how much you pray, God will not close 51 away Cairo. He won't close Hollywood. Because God ordained that movies should be made. Believe me, I know you don't like that, but it's a fact. God ordained that movies should be made. And since the rest of you would rather be making Jesus of Nazareth, no problem. The other people will be making serious movies. So it's a simple thing. All you make is John and Mary. Oh, fine. Joseph and Mary. Fine. Keep on making Joseph and Mary. Jesus, God has no problem, but he won't give you Hollywood. All the stories you want to tell on your this thing is, you know, I hope people can pardon me to say this. You know, sometimes when I'm watching some TV stations, I actually get upset. I'm sorry to say, I hear too much Christianese. You know what I'm saying? People don't mean they are not serious. Oh, brother, welcome to the program. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You the Lord, oh, God bless you. The Lord was just speaking to me as I was about to enter. I just get upset. I just put up the TV. I said, look, are you telling me this how you live life or because you're not on TV? I want to speak the proper Christian language. That's why God won't give you CNN now. Because you will come and say, praise the Lord, the Lord came to Iraq today. How? There was an explosion that killed one of the radicals. That's the Lord coming to Iraq. I get away. No, people won't do serious things. They use religion to kill everything. Research into vaccine. No. The just shall live by faith. Okay, since the whole world is not just now, should they be dying? You know, in our church, we don't take drugs. We don't. So, I've seen people tell me that this is not somebody told me that somebody said. Right in front of me, she said that she has taken admission to a teacher training college and neglected the one to the school of nursing because in their church, they don't take medicine. So, why should she become a nurse? Well, at least you agreed to go to school. In your church, they did not say you shouldn't go to school. Because no, there are churches who say you shouldn't go to school because Jesus is coming tomorrow. Ah, what will you be doing? Fine. Why should you be in class? Restoring jurisprudence when Jesus is coming tomorrow. Are you going to argue case in heaven? Because Jesus is coming tomorrow, you have to live ready. And the living of readiness is to wear bathroom slippers and stand on the road like Holy Ewere, saying that, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Sorry, Ewere is Yoruba word for lunatic. You know what I'm trying to say? No, there are people like that. You don't know. This one, I saw somebody tell me. So God knows that if left to people like you, we will never have discovered the pasteurization of milk. You know what they call pasteurization of milk? Tuberculosis used to be spread mostly through milk. Until Louis Pasteur found out that it's very simple to cure it. Just incubate the milk for at 60 degrees for 30 minutes. Everything is dead. And that was the end of tuberculosis being spread from cow through milk. Do you get the point that I'm making? I mean, so smallpox was killing everybody. But men worked until WHO declared that smallpox had been eradicated. The only smallpox left is hidden in WHO vaults in Switzerland. They did the same thing with polio. This man that started, I'm not very sure of the name, but what I want to tell you is true gist. Either it's Salk or Sabin, one of the two of them. There are two kinds of polio vaccines that were used. The first one was injected. But one of those men, either Salk or Sabin, at a point in time, I heard that policemen were guarding him. Why? Because the man was researching into the vaccine and they understood that polio is easy to eradicate. There was a time it was eradicated in Western Europe. Completely, they were sure that there was no case of polio anymore. But because of migration, people traveling, so from Eastern Europe, from Asia, from Africa, people still go there. So they have to keep on doing immunization. All this campaign on eradicating polio, that's where it started from, because they understood that polio is only found in people. That is, the virus must be inside somebody. He has no what we call intermediate host. He cannot hide inside a cockroach while waiting to catch the next human being or mosquito. It's from one person to the other. So if you immunize enough people, it will die a natural death. Do you understand my point? So one man who was working on the research, their government found out that before one terrorist comes to kill the man for nothing, they mounted guard around him. That is, he is a light of the world. Do you get the point I'm making? That he that follows this man will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of deliverance from polio. You know the interesting thing? Most of those men were believers. The light of God in them, that was how he shone. We only like to read stories of John Alexander Darwin. We like to read stories of Smith Wigglesworth. And our faith is stirred up, and we think that is all there is to the work of the ministry. Were it not for Mary's lesser, they will still be slaughtering twins in Calabar. No, be so. No, but we'd rather have be all of you on this side fall down under the anointing. Hey, she's heavily anointed. Then after they fall down, all that happens is that they close dead, get dirty. They go home, go back in sin and iniquity and in lack of productivity. Listen, he said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Simple English tells us what he's saying, therefore, is after I have left the world, I am no longer the light of the world. Is that not what he said? But he said, you are the light of the world. Arise, shine, because your light has come. That when darkness covers the earth, you need to arise. When sickness covers the earth, arise in your own position of responsibility. Stop trying to be a preacher, lay hands on people. You can make healthcare cheap and affordable. There is nothing wrong with going to hospital. The ones who will not get healed by laying on hands, let them go for surgery. You know, I was discussing with somebody yesterday. To do a CT scan, well, you know what is a CT scan? Those who know, a scan is a powerful kind of x-ray. You do a CT scan, all right? To do a CT scan is generally around 50,000 naira. Now, if you're going down the staircase and you fall and you hit your head against the wall, and that happens in America or in Europe, they don't think about it. As soon as you get to casualty, well, how are you? Did you lose consciousness? Well, I fainted for about a minute. The doctor doesn't even use waste time. He just, for scan, they'll go and put your head inside the machine, check that everything is okay. Say, you are all right. You can go home. But in my country, Nigeria, oh God, the medical student will take you learn lateralizing sign to check whether you are bleeding to the head. You can't go home. How can you go home when he's not sure you are not bleeding? So they will be checking you every 2 hours to check whether your pulse is coming down, your blood pressure is going up. They will do everything. And if after one day, they say, it looks like you did not injure your middle meningeal artery, you can go home. What am I saying? A lot of people that need it never get it. It is too expensive. An average person cannot pay the cost after working for 3 months and not eating from his salary. So the doctor doesn't worry. He tries every other thing. God is not saying that is the best way of healing people. Yes, anointing is good. You understand? But there are those who won't come near where anointing is. God didn't say they should die. They need a CT scan. Somebody can make life so easy that, as usual, as it is usual in other parts of the world. Here also it is usual. The man just goes, you send him for a CT scan. I was discussing this a few days, and it pained me that if you have it, most people who have head injuries in town here die without having a simple CT scan. They cannot afford it. There are two ways you respond to challenges like this. My friend Topsy will say, necessity is the mother of invention and the father of corruption and the instigator of defection. But the godly way to respond is to invent. Do you understand my point? The people respond different ways. Some will say, you see, Nigeria is bad. We are going to Europe. We are going to South America. We are going to North America. We are going to United States of whatever. But others say, no. It does not have to be like this. And God said, if you talk like that, I will give you the power and the authority to rule in that place. Do you get what I'm trying to say? This is what the light of the gospel does for you. It awakens, literally, that giant within you. It's not just talk. That is why men are saying that it cannot be done. You say, why not? That is the killing of Goliath. Do you understand the point I'm making? It's not to wake up and say, in those countries, they don't have giants. God said, no, I have anointed you with the spirit of David. Go there and kill the Goliath. You know what the anointing of God, what the word of God does for you is to stir that thing up in you. That where men faint because of what their eyes are seeing, you straighten up and raise up your shoulders and say, my salvation is near. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's where people say things are bad. You say, yes, I know, but I can make them good. No, that's what the gospel does for you. It literally makes you the head and not the tail. And like I always say, the tail has never wagged the dog. That is, if you claim to be the head, circumstances must not be driving you up and down. You should stand and face circumstances and listen to this. This is what is called the power of grace. There's something we read earlier where we talk about those who have received the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, that they will reign in life. God is not saying that you will use your strength to do this. Let me read this one and we'll close with it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Let me start from verse 17. He said, otherwise you may say in your heart that God did all these things to humble you and test you to do you good in the end. So that you will not say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. He said, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he might confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. This is the point I want you to understand here. If you remember, when we read from Romans chapter 5, he said that those who have received us, verse 17, those who have received the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. The point I want to get to you here is this. When it talks about grace, and then Deuteronomy chapter 8 says that God gives you the power to get wealth. That is, the thing might look difficult to everybody, and indeed it is difficult. God is not saying that you have the power to overcome it in yourself. He's saying that if you stand to overcome them, then I will rise up inside you and overcome on your behalf. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, yes, there's no capital. God said, just start. Make up your mind. This is what I want to do. Then I will cause men to give capital to you. Do you understand the point I'm making? And listen, this is not love offering we're talking about. That is the man who said, this is good business, an investment. And he will invest money in your idea. And that idea that he has given you is what the Bible calls the power to get wealth. Next time I will talk about that. The power to get wealth. That is, there's something God will give you. Look, it's not just a matter of, I have an anointing mean that's attracting wealth. No, that is, God gave Bill Gates Windows, and that was his power to get wealth. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, God will give you ideas on how to do things, and those ideas constitute your own power to get wealth. Power to get wealth is not abstract. Like once I just put my hand inside water, it just turns to precious water. If I put my hand into clay, it becomes precious gold. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you will see one idea to use that water to do something good. And that idea is what is called your own power to get wealth. A man who doesn't understand it like Bill Gates will say, my own ideas, my own strength has begotten me this wealth. God said, no, it is me that gave you that idea. Are you getting what I'm saying? We'll continue that from there next time. Let us pray. Our Father, we give you thanks because of...